What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamar. Shams, how's it going? How's the first three nights of the cupful season been treating your team?
So, it is not fantasy season for me until I picked up a random goalie, and I'm currently already on that, riding Alex Lyon for, you know, it's not fantasy unless you have a sketchy goalie, and right now he's has like 24 shots and only one goal allowed against the Rangers, so I'll take it for a random waiver wire ad, so we'll see how things go.
That's not bad at all. My sketchy goalie was Spencer Knight, who I kind of planted my flag on. I think I have him in like six different leagues. Got a good start of him out of the first game, you know, 37 shots against, 34 saves. A win would have been nice, but I am happy taking volume bets when it comes to goaltending and taking those 37 shots a game as opposed to, you know, John Gibson giving up 5 on 13 and getting pulled. Well, let's get into the news. We already have some injuries. It's not fantasy hockey season without some injuries. Fortunately, they are both on the New York Rangers, who had a great schedule this week, and they're both players that would be drafted. JT Miller is not 100% from his preseason injury, although he is playing in games. There was an interview with him after the first game, kind of talking about how he's not really doing 100%. He's done absolutely nothing in five periods of hockey. So a bit frustrating for people who used a first, second, third round pick on JT Miller, wherever he was going this year. The other one is breaking news. Vincent Trocheck left the game after the second period with an upper body injury. That's all we know. Shams, what are the fallout from these injuries?
So really, the first one, it's just kind of an understanding that JT Miller got an injury in the preseason. Good enough to play, but not 100%. So it's going to be one of those situations where you just kind of bite the bullet. Maybe on Saturday, where we have infinite players playing, you might consider sitting him, depending on how your bench is looking. But like other than that, you're just going to have to, you know, take your vegetables and just play him and then hope that he recovers quickly. And then with the Trocheck, basically the interesting thing is that while we don't have any real news on him, Lafreniere is taking his power play slot. So we'll see how things go, but one person's loss is another person's gain. So keep an eye on game day tweets for an update on the injury. But right now, that is a potential upgrade to one of your players when we're having two potential downgrades in the centerman.
I agree with those takeaways. Good point on potentially benching JT Miller. Normally, I'm not a fan of benching your early round picks, but Saturday, that may be the smart decision. He hasn't taken a shot yet. He has hit a couple times, so I guess he's not doing totally nothing. But zero shots through two games is kind of frustrating for a high pick on a team that he's playing the first line, first power play. Speaking of power plays, Vegas is the latest team to try the five forward power play. And honestly, the first one that I actually think might stick with it for more than, you know, 5 to 10 games. They acquired Mitch Marner this summer, who is known for kind of playing the quarterback of the power play up top. He's playing there. They've got Eichel and Dorofeev taking the one-timers on the wings. And then they're working with Hurdle and Stone down low, some bigger body, give-and-go type guys. And it worked pretty well. They scored twice the first game, both by Dorofeev, who had a hat trick. And unfortunately, Shea Theodore on power play 2 made a mistake that led to the game-tying goal shorthanded. So even more salt in the wounds for people who drafted him expecting a first power play player. What do you think of this five-forward power play? Do you agree with me that it could stick?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that if you're going to be paying all that money and giving that long-term contract to Marner, you're putting him in his position to succeed, and his power play skills were from that part. So this, I wasn't 100% sure if Theodore was going to be off the first power play, because usually teams will do the five forward power play when they just don't have a defenseman worth playing. But this is the first time we actually have a half decent or a good power play quarterback defenseman benched. But the interesting thing is, the second that you put Marner on the point and then your argument now is who's the better one from the, you know, right circle, Dvorev or Theodore? Well, we already know that just from the last game that unless stuff starts to break down, I don't see any interest in them changing it. So I feel like this is just going to be something that lasts long. And they have enough, you know, they have three good forward lines that Theodore should be still getting points on the even strength. And then, you know, power play two still gets points sometimes. So it's not like, you know, you're dropping him, but this definitely removes that back ceiling off of Theodore.
It does. And I was kind of excited for the first time because he didn't have Alex Pietrangelo to compete with this year. I know even up until the beginning of last season, it was kind of like, oh, who's going to be power play one? And it was definitely Theodore last year. So I was excited. Fortunately, everyone else was more excited. So I don't think I drafted him in a single league. But yeah, this definitely puts a damper on his power play prowess. One more injury to talk about. Pyotr Kochetkov for Carolina, who was presumably going to take every other game, starting with the second one, is injured and kind of not a ton of news on that. Do you know, is he going to be back for Saturday, or is this Freddie Anderson's net for a while, who's also an injury risk? What's going on here?
So basically the mystery is all we know is that the supposed injury happened during a practice, so we don't have any visibility on what it is. However, we have been told that he's going to get checked tomorrow. So this is another situation like Trocheck. Keep an eye out on game day tweets and we'll see on the severity. But at the very least, if you're in points leagues or situations where volume matters and maybe someone didn't care for Anderson, I would be interested in picking him up because at the very least, you know, depends on if you have the moves to do so, but you have a chance at a long-term starter, because the only real question here was with Frederik Anderson was the volume. But right now, no information. You'll know tomorrow.
You say that Frederik Anderson could be somewhat interesting with the full starter role. I don't disagree, especially given that he was undrafted in a number of my leagues just because of the presumed 50-50. The downside, though, is Carolina gives up like 22 shots a game. If they don't win, he may just be going negative on a, you know, 3-2 innocuous loss. So I find Carolina goalies very frustrating to own in fantasy. I honestly haven't looked to add Anderson in any of my leagues, maybe to my detriment. And with that, let's take a short ad break and we'll come right back.
Football is back, and so is your shot at big wins with DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Your game day instincts can score you real money fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats from breakout rookies to elite QBs and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your payout. I'm looking at the app right now. I see my Detroit Lions, Jahmyr Gibbs. Detroit is going to be taking on a wounded Kansas City. I'm trying to more or less 0.5 rush and receiving touchdowns. I am going to say more there. And then I'm going to stick in the NFC East. I see Josh Jacobs with Cincinnati visiting Green Bay. Also at 0.5 rush and receiving TDs. Cincinnati just picked up Joe Flacco in a trade to try to solve their QB problems. So I have a feeling that the Green Bay offense is going to have the ball plenty. So give me more on Josh Jacobs as well. So going more with the running backs from the NFC North. And as a kickoff bonus, new DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry on your first pick set. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use the code THPN. That's code THPN. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-787-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Let's now talk about some of the rookies. This is, in my opinion, one of the few things we can take away from one or two fantasy games is which rookies are playing, who are they playing with, how much are they playing. I don't really care if an established vet has a three-point night or if an established vet has a bad night. Those guys, we kind of have more sample size on. So all of a sudden you get rookies and people are like, oh my God, so-and-so's on the first line. Gotta go at him. And then you start talking about what like the actual upside is if he plays those first line minutes, and it's usually not a lot. So I guess that's a spoiler. I'm going to be a big wet blanket this entire episode, and I'm not sure if Shams is going to be any better. So you may be frustrated with the second half of this episode hearing us meh on all of your favorite rookies. But let's get started with that, shall we? First up, let's talk about two Chicago defensemen, Sam Renzel and Artem Lefshinov. Both of them have played in each of the first two games. Renzel, in his first game, played 25 minutes, was on power play one, had a like four blocks and a hit, or four hits and a block, one of those two. He had two shots so far in the second game. Unfortunately, he just went to the locker room like as we were on our break. So he took a big hit from Zadorov and may or may not be seriously, well, not seriously injured, may or may not be injured as opposed to hurt. But we'll see. We'll know by tomorrow morning probably what the results of that is. Hopefully he comes back in the next couple minutes of this game. The other one is Artem Levshinov, who had a pretty rough start to the season when he took two penalties in the first 10 minutes on Tuesday. But he came back with an assist today and has still been quarterbacking power play one, despite the fact that Chicago signed Grizzlick. So both of these defensemen, pretty decent. I think I'm interested in holding a healthy Sam Renzel, just like, he plays so many minutes. He's not a zero on peripherals like many young defensemen are. And, you know, if he's playing power play one with Bedard and Nazar and all those other guys, like, they're going to score some. And I think he's a pretty good player. Levshinov, I don't think, is relevant in a cupful type league. What about you, Shams? Do you have interest in either of those guys?
I think I'm in the same boat with you on both players. Really, the big thing is that the nice thing is that with Renzel is he's just getting so many minutes and his value is not based on them scoring points. Like, obviously he'll get some value just by being on the ice long enough that, you know, a random pass ends up becoming a goal. But with his shots and his blocks, he's just going to get some value for you. And playing, he literally played the most minutes out of any Chicago player against Florida. So we're talking about a cup winning team, opening night, that just shows the level of trust. And that's really what I'm looking for when I'm looking at rookies, is that which players have the trust, and they've been talking this guy up for ages and they're showing the trust, and he's been mostly playing well and having that ice time. So out of the two, I would be 100% happy to have Renzel on my team just because of that ice time and those peripherals.
Definitely agree with you there how high the team is on him. I think honestly, he kind of came out of nowhere as far as a power play quarterback goes. He was always a relatively high pedigree prospect defenseman, but people were talking about Krochinski and Levshinov as power play quarterbacks. And all of a sudden, Renzel stepped in at the end of last year, played pretty well in, I think it was 9 games. Then he comes back this year and jumps straight into their, basically their number one D role. I mean, I'm just thinking, if they deploy him the way they deployed Seth Jones before they traded him last year, I absolutely want a part of that. Speaking of guys getting good deployment, here's a pair of interesting names that I wanted to talk about that are on their team's first line, at least to start the game. 18-year-old Brady Martin, a 2025 draft pick, was centering Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly for Nashville. So he's starting out on apparent first line power play 2 minutes, although you may have something to say about that when I throw to you. And your Detroit Red Wings have Emmett Finney, a 7th round pick, playing up with Larkin and Raymond on the first line. He did not get any power play time in the preseason, though, so I'm skeptical of his impact. He does hit quite a bit in your banger leagues. But, yeah, do you have any interest in Brady Martin or Emmett Finney or any of the other Red Wings that made the opening night roster that I'll let you talk about to start?
So the first part is that I don't know how long it's going to be. Is that because we already saw Stamkos centering the top line just for a moment. So we'll see how long Brady Martin gets the leash. Maybe it's just a little bit of a, hey, here's the NHL, and then we're going to send you back, you know, after a few games. But that was going to be a kind of a thing interesting to watch. Maybe let's see if in a game or two. I think it's just kind of that idea that it's even a possibility that he gets to play on the top line is worth a watch list, but I wouldn't be rushing to add him, especially with only the power play two time, because, like, you know, not to be saying anything here exciting, is that we can all agree that the Nashville forward depth is not that deep that you're going to be looking forward to a power play two person. So just kind of a keep an eye on Martin. Maybe if he stays on the top line next game and then does something there, I'm not going to be rushing to add him. And then on the Detroit side, well, see how things are going. It's the last I checked, they were losing 5-1 to Montreal. So things might be flipping. But the nice thing is that with Finney, it was one of those situations is that they weren't planning to put him at the top line. It's just he just did so well in camp that basically he earned the right to play there. And that's kind of the thing to keep me interesting is that we'll see how things go. As of this moment, he's still on the left, so on the top line. So maybe he gets to keep it there, but they have so many people, including James Van Riemsdyk, that's on the non-roster. And then they have Branson Nygaard, that is another player that's a rookie that could also shift to that. So I think it's one of the situations with the forwards on the Red Wings rookies. It's just kind of keep an eye, see who does what, because they do have a good schedule next week that you might be able to take advantage of. But the interesting thing for me personally is Axel Sandin Pelka, the defenseman that got to play on the opening roster with the Red Wings, because while we seen him as a offensive prowess kind of person, he already has power play too. At least he opened up the game with Simon Edvinson on the second pair. So we're expecting that Edvinson will play a lot. So if you're his line mate, you're probably going to get a good amount of ice time. So this game is kind of a wash. So we'll might have to check what the lines are going to be next week or next game, but that's the one that I'm going to keep an eye on. Cause if Sandy Pelka could stay on that second pair, he might be able to get to the minutes and to do something with it. But right now, all of the Red Wings guys are more of just kind of a watch list at best.
So a little bit of update since the Red Wings game is actually over. Well, first of all, let me give you an update on Sam Rinzell, who is back in the Chicago game. I saw him take a shift. So that's good. Sorry for the 5 minutes of panic you're going to have while listening to this. Maybe even less if you listen at double speed. The Red Wings game, if you want to check in on these rookies, it looks like Axel Sandin Pelka played 22:34, which is more than Seider and just 40 seconds less than Edvinson. He had only a shot and a block, but I don't think was on the ice for any goal against, so that's pretty nice. So it definitely looks like, just looking at the defenseman time on ice, they're riding Sandin Pelka, Seider, and Edvinson really hard. And then the other three guys played like 13 to 17 minutes. Then jumping up to Emmett Finney. Finney had 12:22 of ice time and just had a shot and a hit. Nothing too crazy. And last but not least, Michael Brenzig Nygaard played 14:34 with two shots and five hits. So that's actually a pretty big game for, you know, your peripheral leagues. But again, I agree with you. I'm not adding any of these guys except for the fact that they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday next week. So I may stream one of them. But I don't have any interest in the, you know, long-term hold for any of these three wet Red Wings or for Brady Martin. Next up, let's go to some heralded big-name defensemen out here. Matthew Schaefer, Alexander Nikishin, Zane Parekh, and Zeev Buyam. all of these guys were drafted in most kakupful divisions, I think. I was kind of not interested in Parekh or Booyam for various reasons. I did end up with Schaefer in my kakupful league. But so Schaefer and Nikishin both played their first game today. They both had assists in the first period, so great starts. I don't have the time on ice data up yet, but those games aren't quite over, so not quite relevant. But I expect both of them are going to play the whole season and get pretty good minutes for their teams. Zane Parekh, on the other hand, did not play for Calgary yesterday. We should have lines for today, so maybe we can check if he's in today. But I also think he may be a candidate to get sent back down after a handful of games. And then Ziv Booyam was apparently not supposed to play today, but is anyway because Jonas Brodin is still hurt. I haven't looked in on how much he's been playing. That game's in the second period, I think. What do you think of these four defensemen, Shams? Are you interested in rostering many of them?
So the first thing I could tell you is Parekh is not playing right now. So that's the second game in a row that he's not playing. So at this point, you know, if we're talking about your redraft leagues, you know how deep it is, and I'm not sure if there's any situation that I can imagine where holding a player where you don't have like an NA, well, you wouldn't even have an NA slot. He's just literally burning a hole in your roster that I think he's just a clear drop. Let him go. And then the others is that kind of the same idea of Renzel, to not to a greater extent, is that it looks like they're giving Schaefer and Nikishin decent amount of ice time. And that's really what I want, is that if you're not going to get your prime power play one guys, I want to have someone that's going to be on the ice a good amount. And then if you're on the ice a good amount, that's when you could get your shots, blocks, or your hits in that kind of situation. So with them getting that ice time, I would be interested in those two. And then Booyam is kind of a situation where if you're speaking about him not 100% sure actually, you know, needing an injury to get onto the ice, that would make me worried. So really, it's kind of more of the Parekh and Booyam, probably not interested. And then when you have the situation with Nikishkin and Schaefer, depending on how deep your league is, I'd be perfectly fine having either of them on my roster if the depth warrants it.
That's basically how I feel. I have Matthew Schaefer. I think he's going to play more than 20 minutes tonight. Nikishkin, I'm a bit more concerned about his ice time just because Carolina has so many steady defensemen and plays such a tight system, so to say. But we'll have to watch a couple games and see what happens there. Booyam and Parekh, I think, are cuts in kakupful, personally. I know people are going to be mad at me for saying that about Booyam. I'm pretty sure there was a poll in one of the kakupful channels earlier today that would you cut Parekh? And I think the only people who said, yes, you should move on were me, Derek, and Ryan, all short shifts people. So it's the short shifts crew against the world. And sorry if I got someone wrong on that. I'm going from memory on who were the three let them loose votes on that poll. Let's talk real quick about two teammates, though, on Minnesota and Calgary. Danila Yurov had some pretty high expectations coming in as a bit older of a rookie and from the KHL, where he put up a lot of points last year. But he's not playing either. I don't think many people drafted him, but is he like completely out of sight, out of mind now? And then also Matvei Gridin, who honestly I don't know a ton of as a prospect. So maybe that's somewhere where you can enlighten me, or what do you think he's been doing so far? I mean, he's looked absolutely great in his first game. He had, I think, 5 shots and a goal and was all over the place. Any interest in either of those guys?
For me, it's that Gridin is the one that interests me because the team is telling us that we should be interested in him, because right now he's playing with Kadri and Coronado. So basically he is, like we were talking about Finney being the left wing of a good forward pair. This is basically a person in the exact same scenario, and he had the shots and the ice time and the scoring chances last game to show for it. Now, I'll be honest, the goal was a fluke, but the nice thing is that he is shooting. So if you shoot, some of them are going to be fluky. It all counts the same at the end. So I'm just going to see is that the only kind of worry I have for him is that once Huberto comes back, I'm not sure if it's a long-term injury, so it's just going to be something to keep an eye on for him, is that if Huberto comes back and then he gets shuffled out to somewhere else. But definitely, this is the first forward, I would say, that I would be extremely tempted to keep an eye on. He is probably out of the rookie forwards we talked about so far. Still a watch list, but depending on if you can fit him or how deep your league is, he has at least the interest of me to potentially run it hot for a little bit because of those shots. So maybe just kind of take a wait, see what the box score is tonight. Then if he has another high shot game, that is something that I love. If you give me a lot of shots, then I still get something at the end, even if you don't point.
That's very true. If he gets you the shots, at least in Cupful, that's quite a few points he's getting you. I decided to look him up while you were talking because, like I said, he's just a prospect that wasn't really on my radar. The Dabur Hockey 2025 Fantasy Prospects Report says that his game is defined by quick release and strong puck control and ability to find seams in defensive coverage. He projects as a top six NHL winger with significant power play potential. Does sound like he has some defensive warts, but since when has that stopped a fantasy manager from adding someone? And they have him as a three-year projection of 50 points and an upside comparable of Alex Semin, so like 70 points. So again, I like the deployment so far. I'm not convinced he keeps it. I agree that he's more a watch list than a must add. I'm probably adding him next week if I can because, again, schedule, although there's tons of teams that play four games next week. I'm sure Elon will cover that on Matchup Maximizer. But yeah, definitely looking for some upside if I see him available. And then Victor Nuno of Fantasy Hockey Life has him as a low probability of being a 6 out of 10, where basically a 5 is an average NHL contributor. So Victor seems a bit lower on him. You know, my interpretation is that a 5 is kind of like, you know, a third line player that's going to play on a team, but maybe not be particularly relevant. So, you know, follow the deployment, though. There's plenty of guys who kind of come out of nowhere because they get good deployment. Let's round this off with a couple more guys who have not played because they are in the late game tonight. But Beckett Seneca made the Ducks, it appears, and is playing in, I believe, Ryan Strome's spot on the third line to start the season. Seneca was, you know, drafted ahead of where people thought he would go. He's the third overall pick last year. We'll have to see if he can stick on the team or what he's going to do. And additionally, sounds like neither of the two Sharks youngsters, Michael Misa and Sam Dickinson, neither of them are in the lineup for the first game, which I'm sure comes as a surprise, especially for Misa, who was the second overall pick this year and had sky-high expectations. So I expect those guys will get in soon, but do you have any interest in any of those guys?
So the interesting thing is not sure if you said third line for Seneca just as a joke of how every line feels like a third line with the Ducks, but basically I guess technically he is with some interesting players off the top of my head. Yeah, he's going with the Mason McTavish line and then with Cutter Gauthier. So basically, we don't know the length because it could have been backdated, but Ryan Strome is on IR. So basically, he gets to play with some, at least McTavish, who is an interesting center. And then the news is that, which kind of makes me worried, is that they literally said they're planning to play Seneca as the same as Leo Carlson. So while he's the one out of the Pacific players to actually get to play today, he's the one that worries me the most, is that he's going to be that kind of guy where, if you don't remember how Leo Carlson was played in his rookie year, he basically gets these random like rest days because they don't want to wear him out. So basically, even though the Ducks have that wonderful off-night schedule, you could be sitting there laughing thinking you're going to get a play from him, and then you see the warm-ups that he's not on the ice. So take that as your risk, and we'll see how he plays. He definitely has the pedigree to be a good player, but it's going to be an annoying day to see if he's going to be doing anything because he might just get randomly scratched. And then on top of it with Misa, we'll see is that, as I said before, it's you just can't play players that aren't playing. And I'm surprised as you are because basically all of preseason, he was second line center centering to Foley and Eklund. So I thought that was a vote of confidence that he was going to get played. So right now we don't know, you know, this week in fantasy, you don't have much streaming. So if you have Misa on your roster, maybe just wait till Saturday to see if he plays and then try to get some more information. But if it's kind of like Parekh, if he's not playing two games in a row, I am finding it very difficult to give me any reason why I should have a player rostered if you're healthy scratch. So just going to have to play it by ear, but most likely I have no interest in any of the Sharks.
100% agree. I think Seneca, I actually didn't realize they were going to give him the Carlson treatment. I just assumed that he was going to go down as soon as Strome was healthy. I think that Misa could be interesting. He's the one that I'm most willing to hold on to for another couple days. But Dickinson also, I don't think Dickinson's going to play the full season in the NHL. I'm going to throw a wet blanket on all these guys. If you're holding them and you're losing a close matchup, you are absolutely snoozing. Get a goalie replacement for Saturday if you have a spot. Get a streamer for Sunday early. Like, these matchups matter way more than the long shot of Michael Misa both staying in the NHL the whole season, not getting the healthy scratch treatment like Shane Wright and Leo Carlson did, actually being fantasy relevant in his rookie year as a very young player. All those things have to go right for it to be worth holding him through some scratches. And even if they do all go right, what if he's like a 3.8 Kakupfel point per game player, which was pretty good for a rookie? Like, all of a sudden, that's just a guy you're going to drop partway through the season anyway if he's not performing, or if he's down a cold stretch or a bad week or a desperation ad. Like, people get too enthralled with these rookies, both in the draft and early in the season. So yeah, that's my cold water speech of the day. Do you have anything to add to that before I sign us off?
No, 100% is that the most valuable stat in fantasy hockey is ice time, and you're not getting any ice time if you're sitting in the press box.
Very true. One more minor note that would have gone in our news section if the game started earlier, but we have our first goalie starting a back-to-back, both games of a back-to-back this year. Dustin Wolf is starting tonight for Calgary over, who was it? Was it Devin Cooley's their backup? Not surprised, I guess, given that Devin Cooley is their backup, but Dustin Wolf may be getting the crazy starter treatment, you know, 65 games, if they're already throwing him in there in a back-to-back. Remember, Calgary missed playoffs by 1 point last year. So if they think putting Dustin Wolf in every single game is the best way for them to make playoffs, Dustin Wolf owner is going to be very happy about that. Thank you all for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. Where super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, the entire Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of Twitter, or X, as it prefers to be called these days. It includes team by team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.